the laver. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 18. God calls us to himself as a redeemed people to offer up spiritual sacrifices. But we are afraid to approach him at times because of some present defilement. It is because of this that much due worship and praise is withheld from him and intercession not made. But there is set before us a laver, which is a very vivid picture of the Lord Jesus as the one who can cleanse us from all defilement, make us fit for God's holy presence, and make possible the performance of our function as priests before him. A note to the material of the laver. Being in the outward court, it was all of brass. Brass represents God's judgment upon sin. There must be moral purity in his saints before approaching him with a priestly ministry. Thus Christ is set before us as a laver to make his people thoroughly clean for that service. Now, with regard to our Lord himself, he needed not to wash from sin's defilement. He was not a priest who had to wash. He is the laver for us who are priests under him to wash. With regard to our Lord Jesus Christ, the washing of the laver may denote his baptism, which also was a symbol of his purity, and to which he submitted before entering publicly on the execution of his office as a prophet and a priest. But as it applies to believers, it denotes the general necessity of purity in order to minister as priests before God. And only the Lord Jesus Christ as the laver can make us clean. We should be pure and holy in our lives and conversations, and be examples in purity of conversation to others. The laver was capacious, very large, and uncovered for all to come to. Now, from whence did this brass come? Whose hands supplied it? It was furnished by the offering of the women. They gladly gave their personal mirrors, which were made of brass, which were polished brass in those days, before there was glass, for this holy usage. Exodus 38 and verse 8. Let us not forget in this connection that the Lord's body prepared for him was made of a woman, as was the labor, you see. Galatians 4 and verse 4. The gift of all gifts came by means of a woman. So here we see women bringing their mirrors, which perhaps had once been used as instruments of personal vanity, to express self-love, now to reflect the beauties and glories of our Lord as the heavenly laver. The place of the laver should be noted. It stood between the brazen altar and the door into the holy place. No priest was to pass by the altar of atonement without identifying with it, nor was he to pass into the holy place as a priest until his hands and feet were washed. This speaks a stern warning against defilement in those who are redeemed. But he who demands such purity also provides for that purity in his beloved Son, the laver of cleansing waters. It is the Lord God who says, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." And he himself is the cleansing laver. It is only such cleansing by our Lord which can fit us to enter a priestly ministry. The laver cries, "Wash and be clean." The priests were to wash, not in it, but at it. It had mouths and spouts from whence the water flowed when the priest washed their hands and feet at it. Hands and feet, which shows the priests of the Lord in their walk and conversation, are to be clean, and that they ever need the washing in our Savior's blood. The laver stood near the door of the tabernacle. The priests washed as soon as they entered. No man entered the court until he washed. Even though he was clean, though he had contracted no defilement in the world, and even though he had washed his hands and feet at home, he was obliged to wash again when he entered the tabernacle, before he entered any service for God. And this, with this warning, that they die not, for any defilement exposes to death. Sin exposes us to death, eternal death. That is the wages of it. And only by washing in the blood of Christ can a person be secured from that death. No man was fit to do service for the Lord, or might be admitted to that service, until he was washed. You will find this true in heathen religions, such as Mohammedanism. But that is that the priests are awash their hands and feet before service. But such washings are but satanical imitations of this ancient practice among God's chosen people. If then this laver would cleanse, it must contain waters which have more than human or angelic power. These waters must be divine, and have in them all the properties and attributes of God. It is thus we are to view the laver, our Lord Jesus Christ. He holds a remedy for every defilement, which can meet every need. He whose blood was once shed in atoning sacrifice, now applies his resurrection life to us, to cleanse away every stain, however vile in its uncleanness. There is a cleansing flow until no taint of corruption is found. The soul becomes white as wool and whiter than driven snow. No defilement can live to torment the soul of those who wish to go on with the Lord. But the psalmist reminds us, it is only those with clean hands and a pure heart who can ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in the holy place. The effectual cleansing of our Lord as the laver can be seen when he himself stooped and washed the feet of his disciples in John 13 verses 4 and 5. It may well have been that these feet were defiled as they walked through the lanes of this world in coming to feast with the Lord, or that their inward lives were also defiled as they argued along the way as to who should be the greatest. Unclean ambition. But cleansing there had to be before they could sit down to feast with him. Whatever is not in accord with divine holiness necessitates washing. We must be clean before the Lord. There was no other cleansing found. No other but the Lord Jesus can cleanse our souls and make us clean. He must wash, and he alone. Now, hear the words of Mr. Andrew Bonar. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Let me thy glory see. Draw my soul close to thee, then speak thy love to me. Nothing between. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Let not earth's din and noise stifle thy still small voice. In thee let me rejoice. Nothing between. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Nothing of earthly care, nothing of tear or prayer, no robe that self may wear. Nothing between. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Shine with unclouded ray, chasing each mist away, o'er my whole heart bear sway. Nothing between. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Thus may I walk with thee. Thee only may I see. Thine only let me be. Nothing between. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Till thine eternal light, rising on earth's dark night, bursts on my open sight. Nothing between. May it be so. Amen and amen.